Hello everybody, my name is Owen, and this is Man's Gadget Talk for Thursday, 28th of January, 2021. Obviously, it's your boy over here. We're trying to sort of talk about everything that's been happening in the world of technology, and obviously a lot of new gadgets and stuff. The past couple of days haven't been much interesting. The only thing that's really happened is that GameStop shares have gone up incredibly high. Well over double or triple, many times over, have multiplied in number. Let's just quickly check the latest deets on the GameStop price. I've said GameStop. But all we know is it's stonks is kind of going up. Okay, now as of recording this, it has gone down tremendously to 249. So, it's gone up again. See, you never know. It is quite exhilarating. Stonks! I really felt like saying that because, you know, this is what has been amplified. It's going back up again. I mean, it's got no chill. So, if you've been living under a rock, I hope you really aren't. If you've been living under your bed or something, under a rock, you may have known that the long story short, kind of, there was a little hedge fund and they were claiming that the GameStop was falling. It was not useful in front of Amazon, and hence they're shorting it ridiculously to say a couple of bucks a stock. And then someone on a subreddit called Wall Street Bets, then we found out about it and told everyone to run out and buy GameStop shares in the hope to create a short squeeze to kind of price out the short sellers on the market who are literally throwing a long short on obviously GameStop. And we all know what happened afterwards. The GameStop shares really shot up from, say, like 10, 20 bucks all the way up to $300, $400 yesterday. I think yesterday when the price, it almost hit $400-ish dollars, which was just nuts. So that, and now obviously, Robinhood has banned, has blocked users from buying shares in stocks such as GameStop, Bed Bath & Beyond, AMC Cinemas, or AMC Entertainment, as most would call it, and BlackBerry, Nokia. That's insane. Nokia makes sense. Like, Nokia is a business with a lot of potential, but it's been shorted, but it's been suffering from a short, like, nuts. Obviously, a lot of people who are at home kind of trading from their phones can ditch Robinhood and go to another broker. And there are lots of good options. I don't have it. You can basically Google it. There are lots of famous options like Webull and stuff. Oh, well. But obviously, this is Mowen's gadget talk, not Mowen's money talk or dollar talk, or else we're probably able to go deep down on as to why GameStop shares have gone up. And, you know, I honestly, if you ask me, or if you probably were to take my opinion, honestly, I would say that, you know, like, I'm sure the folks on the subreddit, the Wall Street Bets subreddit, like, they kind of, I'm sure they were pissed about the whole hedge funds thing. We've all heard a story of how abusive hedge funds tend to be, you know, like, they got pissed at hedge funds and the whole concept of shorts or shorting stocks to make it that they can end up buying it out for cheap and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I'm sure there's some people out there who are just, you know, because I was reading a lot of reactions, like a lot of people are like, as to why they ended up buying GameStop shares a lot and it causing the price to like go up all of a sudden. And then a lot of them kind of bring a broad reference to, you know, sort of how the recession, you know, like how there are a bunch of reckless folks in Wall Street and they did some funny business and then they didn't suffer much. And then, you know, regular folks who are now spending a lot of money to essentially buy GameStop shares, hoping they'll go all the way up, and then essentially pricing out the short fellas. It kind of how it was like a revenge. I think that made sense. I kind of seen all the reaction, but I felt like it made a ton of sense because, you know, like the thing about GameStop, now I'm no expert at like, I'm not that heavy of an expert, right? I'm into business because money, who doesn't love to make money? Honestly, part of me, I would say GameStop doesn't have much potential, obviously, as a company. It is essentially, I mean, it's a brick and mortar retailer selling games, and really its main business was selling video games, or copies of video games, like Cyberpunk 2077, has really been disrupted by digital downloads. There's not much potential unless GameStop does really innovate or do something special. And so I look at that and then I'm like, yeah, I definitely am telling you, Wall Street, like a lot of people out there are running out and buying stock, really to like to be like to really be like these hedge funds can I mean, screw these hedge funds, we want to make money too. We want to be rich. We want all the profits, that kind of thing. The whole kind of post-recession reaction, how the world, our world has really transformed after the Great Recession. I think people sit there thinking that, oh, a bunch of companies went bankrupt. Not a big deal. Lehman Brothers got bankrupt. But really, the financial recession has had a very, very long-term impact. I mean, this is a whole separate discussion for a whole nother podcast and a whole nother episode of my own show. I probably wanted to start, and I've been thinking of another podcast, obviously. Obviously, I've said this in previous, in our sort of like end of 2020 episode, that we're looking to start two extra podcasts, and one of them really is to do like reviews and explainers, sort of. Now, I thought of starting it this week, and we had the perfect topic on here, but then obviously I got a cold and a dry throat, and so not the best time to launch another podcast on top of trying to do two podcasts a week. So hopefully I'll try to get it out by next week. Hopefully I'll probably be a bit strong enough to take on the challenge of starting another podcast or so, and hopefully get to our year-end goal of essentially having thousands of listeners and obviously two, three podcasts in a every week. Well, two, three shows of my own, and that essentially means we'll probably be like uploading 3 times a week. But obviously, with the third podcast, we get that out, and now it's essentially be 4 times a week. So, almost you could say, amongst Monday to Friday, essentially, almost all the way, like, the weekdays. But obviously, except for a few back and forth. Anyways, I digress. I digress. Honestly, people, some folks have thought that the recession didn't really impact the global economy or really impact certain trends, like they've did. And again, as I said, if we really delve into this one right now in the show, it'd probably go past the 2 hour mark. It is really interesting. I mean, but yeah, like it's been an interesting week if you've been in Wall Street. But obviously, I just look at it with interest, as I said, because I really am interested in business, and business is an interesting topic for me to talk about now, because I know much that much about. Not that like I know, like I don't want to, like I'm a sort of a self-learning expert or like a self-taught expert. More like, I see the patterns, I see where everything's been headed. So yeah, I kind of digressed a bit too long. Probably spent the first a third of of this show on this topic, but really it is quite interesting, and it's quite extraordinary times of living. The fact that there are actually stocks on the New York Stock Exchange or the Nasdaq that actually I've been subject to hedge funds and certain folks, shorting it excessively with millions of and possibly billions of dollars pumped in. And then essentially how a bunch of retail investors, basically folks who follow a subreddit, were like, you know what? We think it'll make more money and we need to make more money. So they see an opportunity and they essentially get on the stock, essentially jack the price up and price out, and essentially price out a bunch of hedge fund folks. It's just extraordinary. What an extraordinary time to be in, quite figuratively. So, again, I kind of digress really, but this is so fascinating. I don't know. It looks interesting to me. But yeah, while this was all happening, Tesla did its Q4 2020 earnings report. It's current, obviously earning. It's sorry, the quarterly earnings season in the U.S. right now. Fourth quarter earnings all been ruled from big companies like Apple and Facebook and Tesla. Tesla's been part of the picture here, and obviously they have reported that they've been able to ship nearly I mean, nearly almost 500,000 cars, which is impressive. Around 499,000 vehicles. But more interesting is that in Q4 2020, Tesla has installed 383 new stations. So almost almost 400 new charging stations, 3,840 new individual connectors. That essentially means that if you do the math over the quarterly period for like the last 4 months of 2020, or last 3 months, give or take, Tesla's essentially added four new charging stations per day, which is incredibly impressive. Again, it speaks to the power. So as of Q4 2020, Tesla now has 2,564 supercharger stations worldwide, 23,277 individual connectors, and a rough average of 9.1 connectors per station. Again, they really, as just an individual manufacturer, Tesla has probably the most impressive charging network worldwide. And big automakers are yet to obviously catch up to Tesla. So that's really interesting. We'll see how they keep up this vast network of superchargers, but it's genuinely impressive as a single car maker that Tesla is able to maintain a massive charging network. But and obviously and then on top of that, Elon, obviously Elon, good old Elon Musk. I mean, he again the early talk when well, we talked early. Elon Musk also made his re reacted here, and he tweeted what he's been seeing, and he said, "Game stonk." See what, nice. nice. But that's not what we're here to talk about, really. But more so, that Elon had obviously Elon Musk provide updates on the other Tesla cars that are planning to come. Now, he did mention in the Q4 2020 earnings reports and sort of the talking to analysts and stuff. He kind of mentioned that the semi trucks ready to be made. They're waiting on bigger cell on their big new better new bigger battery cells to be made. And then to be added to the semis, and that would offer much greater chart range than usual. Then there is the Tesla Cybertruck and the Tesla Roadster. Now, the Cybertruck essentially is almost ready from the looks of it. He's like the trucks would be ready to be shipped. It would start rolling. First couple of units would be available from from the other half of 2021 this year, pretty much the other half of this year, and then later on next year, pretty much next year, 2022 is when you'll see Cybertrucks in mass production, which is what I've heard, which is interesting. And then obviously the Roadster, that's coming. As I said, it now I'm not really mad at Tesla. I mean, they are trying really hard, and but the thing is, there's so much demand, and only there's only so much cars they can so many cars they can make in their factories. There's obviously the Model 3 and the Model Y and then the S and the X that are there, and those these four main cars and all that. So but for the Roadster, now as I said, when we think about Tesla's, it is I mean, I'm not surprised. Like it is taking them a lot of it's a lot of work to scale up production of such high-end vehicles. But I was actually just going through Twitter right now as I was just like trying starting to like record this, and Elon kind of tweeted just about now, really. And he kind of tweeted about the road. Someone actually tweeted to him that what happened to the Roadster, and he replied stating, "Finish engineering this year. Production starts next year. Aiming to have release candidate design drivable late summer. Tri-motor drive system and advanced battery work were important precursors." As obviously, as always, really nice that Elon Musk obviously tweet really relies to people's tweets about a whole bunch of topics. And really, that's I think this is why people love him really, and I probably am. Quite a big fan. It is a nice way to interact with customers. It's like it's a bit straightforward. It's not too, but updates to all of other Tesla's vehicles are yet to release. We're not really the big story, really. The Model S and Model X have both gotten a bit of a refresh. They've kind of changed the Model S and the Model X. Now, if you know that these two cars, I mean, if you are a Tesla fanboy, you will know these were Tesla's two first cars that really kickstarted the company. Into its role as being an EV powerhouse. I mean, more or less was the first proper Tesla that you could say. The Roadster, really, the first Roadster that was a car that Tesla made, really was like Tesla trying to get it, make it like was Tesla kind of managing to like it was the first version. It was the prototype kind of phase. The Model S and Model X were essentially Tesla's vision kind of being manifested right over here. So the first Roadster was the first, but But if you kind of learned a lot about the first Roadster that obviously Tesla made, it was the body was from a Lotus, I believe, and then the batteries were not really what we have today. And Yeah. I mean, it was the first, but wasn't really the best. And these vehicles, Model S and X, were some of the best, and people loved it. And they're the now iconic Teslas that everyone has come to recognize as the brand, and all over the world. But we're not here to talk about how great these cars are. They've gotten a complete refresh, and I think that's important because these cars haven't gotten a real interior or exterior update in years. The last time these two cars have gotten a bit of a design, a bit of a refresh, was kind of when they kind of ditched the front. They basically played around with the exterior a little bit, kind of making it a bit more modern. And in the front grille, the little circle, the black kind of black grille, the faux grille that you could say that was there, the kind of fake grille. They kind of shrinked it because obviously we were starting to know that electric cars wouldn't really need to have front grills. They can just, the varilayer can be somewhere else if that's even a thing. Okay, I'm not much of a car guy, but I'm sure there's not no such thing as ventilator. Yeah, I kind of mixed things up. Oh well. Aside from that, but really, aside from a few bits and bobs, nothing much has been changed. Nothing much has changed with the Model S and X, though. We've been hearing for many months, and there were some signs that Tesla was like planning to launch a refresh of these cars. Both cars' the stocks were kind of liquidated in the last couple of weeks, and that was happening. And obviously, a whole bunch of moves, and now we've essentially got a refresh of these cars, which is incredible. So the Model S and the Model X both have this all new look that essentially is almost similar to the Model 3 and Y, but it's not too minimalist. It has the center, the vertical screen in the middle that used to be there, the touch screen, is now a massive horizontal screen. And we have more deals about this. It is a 2200 by 1300 resolution display with ultra bright colors, exceptional responsiveness, and left right tilt. The new center display is an ideal touch screen for entertainment and gaming anywhere. A second display in front of the driver shows critical driving information, and a third display provides entertainment and control for rear passengers. Literally, there's a third display at the back. Already a lot of car makers like add additional space in the back. Tesla's obviously had one where essentially you'd have the kind of the back aircon there, but I'm sure aircon does reach to the back of the car, because it's an EV, it could shove air vents underneath. Well, I'm not a judge really to this stuff, but it's kind of impressive with the new. Well, let's just quickly go through all the new things that have coming in both refresh variants of these cars, really, because it's quite exciting. So to start with the new Tesla Model S and Model X, I've insured both of them, have a 17 feature a 17-inch cinematic display, obviously on the front, the front dash screen, and that is essentially has the 2200 by 1300 resolution, and you can obviously tilt it, and this is great for playing games and stuff. On top of a new onto a new steering wheel that essentially looks like a yoke. I don't know how I feel about it. It looks funny. It is very futuristic. Like, they've really pulled the trigger dramatically. This is the kind of stuff that would be in concept cars for now. But the fact that they've pulled the trigger and created this kind of yodel kind of design. Now, that's the biggest hint. Like, full self-driving is the future. So they've designed the steering wheel and such that you won't really use it. You'll just press you'll press a button on the screen and you'll essentially be into full self-driving. I don't know. This is probably a way to push people to. I'm sure someone somewhere will make a modification and offer a accessory that will literally give you a full steering wheel, but that's that. And as always, the model, and obviously, on top of that, you have this refreshed interior design that is very different. Again, it has the Model S and X kind of stylish. The driver has his own sort of screen, so you can see the mileage and stuff. It's good along with sort of the aircon vents that have come from the Model 3, which is really cool. Along with on top of that, you have a back sort of towards the back, the back passengers have their own little screen in the middle, which is good, so you can play games or obviously access content. On top of that, you get multi-device Bluetooth. There's wireless charging and USB-C connectivity to obviously charge even your laptop, which is impressive. You get a 22-speaker, 960-watt audio system with active noise cancellation. I mean, again, Tesla's really looking at these little details compared to most car makers, obviously, because really you're using a car for more than just driving around. And if you have full self-driving, you're gonna listen to lots of music, you're gonna listen to lots of podcasts, you're gonna binge lots of videos and movies and shows. You're gonna go on long road trips. You need a great audio system. Yeah, okay. Other car makers can boast like 3D audio, but again, these guys have like a again, Tesla's obviously offering it a fully powerful audio system. As always, the Model S and X offer very large space, quite spacious interiors for its class. Model S, as for a fact, is quite flat enough that if you put the, you know, the again, I'm looking at from the website really, but if you look at the, you just bring the seats down, you can fit a full bike without taking its wheels off, which is impressive. Now, the thing is, the Model S and X both will be available in long-range and plaid models. Plaid is special because obviously Tesla talked about a few months back, they revealed the plaid Model S, and then talked about how it's a tri-motor all-wheel design and gives you roughly a 0 to 60 speed of 1.99 seconds, and 319 miles of range at the moment. You could upgrade the battery to go up to like 500 miles, I believe. So that's that really, if you think about it. And obviously, as it is a sedan with a pretty heavy battery underneath that gives you a low center of gravity, you get 0.208 CD essentially, so it gives you a low, really low coefficient drag. But on the exterior, interestingly, there's some bits and bobs have changed. It's a bit more performance. It's got some more like performance trims and stuff. You know, like it's a bit more sporty. We've seen a leak of this car like a few weeks back. I've seen the pictures. It looks a bit more sportier. So this is what I've noticed. So they've made it a bit more sporty, and obviously they've added instead of chrome finishes on the door handles and obviously underneath on the sides and stuff, they've replaced with matte black, which I think has been really cool. But yeah, you get 412 miles range, obviously with the starting sort of. And on top of that, you have all the other really good function features that you get with the regular with the model with already they get with the Model S. But really, outside of it, officially speaking, is that even a thing? So the plaid Model S will have 0 to 60 for of roughly 1.99 seconds. It has estimated my range of 390 miles, can go 200 miles per hour, which is kind of more than enough for most people. Has a peak power of 1,020 horsepower, that's a lot, and has 28 cubic feet of cargo. And I'm just reading this off the website, which is impressive to say the least. And then the Model X, on top of that, is it is it's a little bit heavier as an SUV, so it comes with a little less range. It also has a refreshed interior, quite similar to the Model S, with almost the same display and sets of features, including that funny steering wheel, which is interesting. And as always, both cars are luxurious, very nice finishes, and quite spacious interiors. As I said, a lot of room, lots of room for lots of things. But as I said, the Model X, though, it has, as I said, similar sets of updates to the model, like that's been given to the Model S, and it looks a bit more. It's still the same kind of body, but it's a bit nicer. So where there was chrome in exterior details, they've been swapped out for black, which is really cool. It looks a bit more. Again, it looks really nice once again. It's a bit more, you know. So again, new wheels and tires, which is interesting, and again a refined exterior. So where there's like chrome trimmings, like they've been gone again, they switched out to black, so that's interesting. But obviously this is an SUV, so it's a bit heavy, so it's got compared to the Model S, it's a bit reduced in terms of power. So again, the plaid Model X, yes, there's a plaid version of this. It'll go from 0 to 60 in 2.5 seconds, and has a range of 340 miles as it is, and a peak power of 1,020 horsepower. Honestly, unless you really are mindful or you notice these little details, you won't. If you buy a Model X, you wouldn't really notice it. But I think what's awesome more than all of this is how they finally updated the entire car, and like now people, and then now some folks would probably would find it useful buying this kind of car. They're probably now it makes sense to purchase a Model X and a model or a Model S. That they've, you know, I mean, they've cleaned up the interior and bring it up to spec for 2021. Like Tesla's really getting better at their cars. That's for sure. So you know. So that's interesting to say the least. Now, if you really want to run out and buy these cars, like you can order them right now, and they'll be shipping by March. So obviously, we book the cars at the and obviously pay any kind of you know if they any deposit if you like you know order any deposit and stuff, you'll pretty much get them by March. If again, if you're kind of curious. Now the Model S starts at $80,000 for the regular long range with dual motors and stuff, all-wheel drive. It's actually become a bit simplified. So now you get you could, there's an $80,000 long range dual motor option, and if you want the Plaid option, which is tri-motor all-wheel drive, slightly longer range, faster 0 to 60, more sportier, you can get the Plaid starting at $119,990. And depending on where you live in the US, or depending where you in which part of the world you live in, you may get incentives for buying this car and get a good discount on it. And you can actually get a Plaid Plus variant, which is $139,990, again without taxes or anything like that. And apparently you get 520 miles plus. We'll have to see on that. That's interesting. And the Plaid Plus will essentially go under 1.99 seconds 0 to 60. I forgot that they had a Plaid Plus, honestly. I mean, I heard about this, but yeah. There's also now Plaid Plus variant, which is wonderful. And then the Model X is coming in two variants. So you can get a long range for $90,000 and a Plaid version, again, also for $120,000. So now the choices are easy. You can get a really fast, you can get a really sporty and long, decently long range, sedan like a Model S, or if you have a big family, get a Model X. You know what to do. Aside from that, really great updates finally. Quite a fresh of breath air with these updates. But honestly, I don't know how I feel about the steering wheel. It feels like they want to really push people to use full self-driving this way. I don't know how you feel. Let me know, obviously. Do tweet back at me with your thoughts if you want. You know what my handle is. But that's the Model X and the Model S and the Model X. They're so rhyming, you know? I mean, but more interesting than all of that is General Motors. Is plan it has essentially has made a plan that they're gonna essentially stop selling they're gonna stop selling diesel vehicle petrol vehicles, you know, regular diesel vehicles, you know, the ones that have a ICE, you know, internal combustion engine, by 2035. And obviously by 2035 they kind of want to offer all electric battery electric and fuel cell electric vehicles, which is kind of interesting. And they really are starting out strong, as I said, given being one of the big Detroit automakers. Like they are coming out strong with their own kind of architecture, and you know the Ultium battery tech that they've built out. I mean, as I said, start with they're gonna launch new Chevy Bolts. They're gonna have the Hummer, and then there's the Celestiq that's gonna come out later on. And essentially, their plan is they're gonna offer 30 new EVs by 2025. And obviously, they have a plan for Cadillac to become an all-electric brand down the road, which is interesting. So some dealerships have literally given up selling Cadillac cars, and they're gonna stop doing that in the next couple of years. You know, so I mean, it's quite interesting where we're headed. You know, we're yet to hear much about Ford or other car makers and what their plans are. It's amongst the Japanese car maker. I mean, the Korean car makers are all set. I mean, there probably are one or one company. There's only one big brand in South Korea that makes cars, Hyundai. So we know what they're up to, but Toyota and Honda are like not that much deeply into the electric, you know, race. Then there's Nissan. Nissan's like kind of been committed to EVs. Like the best selling EV on earth has been the Nissan Leaf, and now that Tesla's like overthrown their throne, they obviously. planning to sort of kickstart their growth back in as the leading EV player in the world. Again, we've talked about the Ariya a few months back. We haven't heard much from Nissan, but it looks like they're working on it. It's gonna take a very long time. As I said, you're talking about the car industry where innovation really does take a very, very long time to really come to all sorts of cars. But honestly, there's the problem of climate change, so this better hurry up. But oh well, companies like Tesla have shown that it is possible to change the way you offer products or sell all that stuff, and obviously bring good technology to the masses. They've disrupted the industry. You could almost we've talked about a lot of cars already, though. We might as well make another podcast about it. But oh well. This was all the we thought we'd talk about EVs first because I think this we're seeing some big changes in this sector. Now over to phones because phones are also what we like to talk about. All right, so the first bit of something really interesting, man. I think this was overlooked, but Samsung is planning to now start supplying Chinese phone makers with foldable displays. This actually comes from a Korean publication, ET News, and they kind of report, citing an industry insider, that Samsung essentially is now planning this for the first time this year to start supplying Chinese smartphone makers foldable displays. And obviously, they're planning to offer two types of displays: there are the Flip Variety and the Fold, just like the Z Flip and the Z Fold. And it's kind of interesting as it's kind of interesting as obviously there are already other display makers inside and outside of China that obviously supply for smartphone makers like Oppo, Vivo, and Xiaomi and stuff. Again, a long, long list really, with really cutting-edge display technology. Obviously, there are some display makers in China themselves who are obviously offering, including BOE, that are d make designing and offering foldable displays for brands like Lenovo and Huawei, which is interesting to say the least. Samsung's obviously will be unique because their foldable glass will have ultra th thin glass technology, which is really unique and probably one of the only displays with this kind of technology out there, which is interesting. And again, according to the report, they claim that obviously Samsung's supply for their foldables to Samsung's smartphone division would probably exceed 10 million this year, which is interesting. But for third-party players, they're aiming to ship out 1 million display units, which is kind of interesting. I think Raya, they're kind of watching the market demand. Obviously, the other third-party phone makers are not really looking m much into foldables from the looks of it, but it is a growing market segment, and it's going to grow obviously with more demand. And we're also hearing rumors of Apple doing a foldable iPhone, which could really switch things up in the industry. So that's definitely something to look forward to. And in more news about Xiaomi, because we can't stop hearing about Xiaomi anytime soon. It's an unstoppable technology company in and of itself. Someone basically went in and looked at the MIUI 12.5 Chinese beta and discovered in a little thing in the bug, about a little not bug really, a little bit of information in the code. It's written deep down, and a little snippet called Keyguard Wireless Strong Charge 67 Watt. Essentially, a little piece of code that kind of gave away a hint that Xiaomi may offer 67 watt fast charging on its upcoming smartphones, which is interesting. More than all of that, possibly 67 watt wireless fast charging. This is absolutely nuts. Obviously, 67 watts wired is impressive, but that wirelessly through Qi tech charging technology is impressive. And so this possibly will be coming on an upcoming smartphone. Now, so kind of been almost backed up with claims from Digital Chat Station on Weibo. I mean, if you've been listening to my show previously, you will know who this person is, famous leaker. He kind of wrote this that in a high-end Xiaomi phone, there possibly could be a 67 watt, give or take 67 watt wireless fast charging function, larger battery, and a 2K display, which is interesting if you know what that is, like a quad HD plus display. I mean, 67 watts wirelessly is incredibly powerful, that wired already is impressive, but wireless, ultra fast wireless charging is a real game changer, if you know what I mean. It's no match for MagSafe, but oh well, the faster the better. And then, Red Magic, well, Nubia essentially, is teaming up with Tencent to release another gaming smartphone. The Red Magic 6 Tencent Games Edition will be launching in Q1 2021. And essentially, it's a collaboration between both parties. Tencent Games, if you know Tencent Games, they make PUBG Mobile, Call of Duty Mobile, some the biggest mobile gaming player in the world, hands down. And Tencent has a lot of money, obviously, so they can afford to be the leader here. And essentially, both have collaborated. It's a big collaboration between both parties, and essentially they've worked. And also, obviously, Nubia has worked with Tencent to create an optimized gaming phone to improve frame rates, response times, and all that. And you expect active air cooling, which is ridiculous. I mean, there was a previous gaming phone. I think it was the Red Magic 5G, possibly, that had active air cooling. So that's interesting. A lot of the rumor mill is stating that the Red Magic 6 could possibly have a 4500 milliamp hour battery and a Snapdragon 888 SoC, which is very, very interesting. I don't want to spend like 30 more minutes on this topic because I'm kind of going really fast. So if you kind of are hearing me gibber here, just forgive me. I mean, I'm again trying to keep it quite concise. And finally, Razer has a new mouse. This is not about phones, it's more about PC gaming, but Razer's got a new mouse and it's pretty interesting. The Viper 8K is a new gaming mouse from Razer, and let's just cut to the chase really. The new Viper 8K has an 8,000 Hz polling rate that essentially could offer that can deliver, again according to Razer, 8,000 pings to your PC per second. So And this is a wired mouse, by the way, this to clear some doubts here. And that means that the response time, your mouse response time really, when you move your mouse around, will go from 1 millisecond to roughly one to just eight an eighth of 1 millisecond. Now, that's a dramatic drop if you ask me. The thing is, you won't be able to notice. But fun fact, there are some folks who have actually tested out mouses and have, and essentially the average polling rate is roughly 4,700, which is again apparently reading this from the word, tools made by M Mouse Insider and Zoe. Wow, I burped a lot. I don't know why. Just pardon me. Tools made by Mouse Insider and Zowie recorded a 4,700 Hz average polling rate for this mouse. There were a few times it peaked into 5,000 Hz, and so it seems like it could go faster if it were physically possible for me to move my hand any faster. That's essentially the word has stated here. That's interesting. On top of that, this is again. This mouse has essentially the fastest polling rate as a wired mouse in the entire market, and that is with thanks to the 20,000 DPI Focus Plus sensor, which is already on like other Razer mouses to start with. Now, yeah, I was actually reading a bit of this, and it was surprising how they've mentioned that Razer would send a sort of sample of this mouse really to the press when I test it out, but they claim that they should have a really high, almost a mid-end rig along with a high refresh rate monitor of 144 Hz or over to just enjoy to see the difference. This never happened. I mean, I think no one it has never happened that you have to have a like a really fast computer to get to take advantage of faster peripherals. Like you should be able to see it for yourself, or maybe they know that it is really really fast, but you would need to have a really sophisticated rig, or I'd say a very fast refresh rate to like notice the little blip in performance. But this new Viper mouse is interesting. It's a little heavier, but oh well. It costs $80. If you want a fast gaming mouse and you love Razer, you know what to do. You could buy this mouse. I'm a Logitech G guy. Okay, I'm just saying. I just. In terms of gaming peripheral gear, like I don't get the hype with Razer. Like I'm more of a Logitech guy because I really like what Logitech does, and it's a genuine kind of They really do genuine innovation in that sense. Their wireless mouses are really, really nice. That's just my own opinion, really. I'm a PC guy, PC gaming guy, but yeah. Logitech is more fun if you ask me what my preferences are. So, yeah. That's everything we've really covered. Again, again, aside from the GameStop stock price just blowing up, nothing much has happened in the last couple of days from since Tuesday's episode. And yes, I've had a bit of a cold, so if it's been all funny along this way, then again, beg your pardon for that. What do you think of everything you've heard today? Let me know on Twitter and Instagram at @SayItUnderscore99. Send me a message over there or tweet back at me if you can. Subscribe to the show where you listen to already. Then again, it takes a lot of effort and a lot of guts out of me having a cold to do this. So if you actually can subscribe or tell your friends to listen to it, it'd be really, really lovely. Yes, if you are listening through like the web little website, you know, the Anchor's little like mini site that they have for my show, if you there's a little share button, and if you just share the little link and just share it to all your friends, or even on your or if you are trading stocks, you know, game stonk, just put the link of my show straight into the chat and get everyone to listen while they dodge highly shorted stocks. Aside from that, again, as I said, don't forget to tell your friends to listen to it and subscribe and all that good stuff. I mean, if you are listening on Apple Podcasts right now, if you have an iPhone, go to the app, go to my show, and please drop a review. Just really let me know how it is, and obviously more reviews the better, and that'll help with the recommendation. But yeah, aside from that, that's been it. Till next week, it's your boy Mountain signing out. Take care, stay at home if you can. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you hopefully next week. Ciao. Thanks for listening. And again, don't forget to tell your friends to subscribe, and you know, and hopefully there's lots of stonks. All right. Ciao.